How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to the Shack. I'm your host, Wilbur, joined by
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, you sounded like Lisa for a second.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, couldn't almost tell the difference. Oh, we got the VH Blast Berry Blend in the Shack today. Looking forward to this afterward in about 15, 20 minutes.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. We're in the Shack. I've been gone for a while, but I'm back. You know, a lot of crazy things going on in the world and in life in general, and we always find time to relocate, rebuild the Shack, and here we are. We had to rebuild it, didn't we?
Yeah. So there may be a week off. I don't know.
We'll find out. The word will get out, though, just so you all know. That's why you come here, to get the truth. And that's what we're going to provide, especially today.
In the Shack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So today...
You psychopath.
It takes one to rule the world, you know?
If you can't tell, the tension in the room.
Why? What's the tension?
Just that pieces of equipment failing, leaving me stranded.
This is warfare. We're under warfare. We're being targeted.
It's lucky it's your piece of technology, because if it was mine, I probably would have thrown it by now.
Well, let's not throw things.
Well, it doesn't work anymore, so...
I told you to throw it downstairs, see if it fixed it. You didn't try it yet.
Well, I think it probably would fix the one problem, but then the screen would be destroyed.
Well, it just depends how you throw it. It's the angle of the dangle.
I was going to, like, really put some juice behind it.
Like VH splash juice?
Like OJ.
Oh, okay.
Having fun in hell.
Yeah. And I bet he is. Speaking of hell.
What about it?
Bugs.
Are you wanting me to introduce the topic or something?
Bugs are in hell right now. A lot of them. A lot of them.
No, bugs go to heaven.
Do they?
They just do God's work.
Hmm.
No, so here's Not a crazy
mosquitoes.
Thing.
Every mosquito goes to hell. Sorry.
Every mosquito goes. Well, you learned a fact about mosquitoes the other day.
Yeah, they don't just live off blood.
No, almost all mosquitoes. So mosquitoes, only females drink blood, and they only do it when they have eggs. So most mosquitoes drink nectar, and they're actually pollinators.
Screw them. I don't care.
So the insect apocalypse is what today's episode's all about. And this is insects as a whole. This is number, not species, have declined by 75% in the last 50 years.
Woo-wee!
That's not good.
Thank you, Monsanto. Thank you.
We're going to talk about it. It's very, very, very bad. We'll talk about several different insects to use as examples, but one thing we were talking about is we're at the age to where when we were kids, you remember how many bugs would be on the front of the cars and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I remember running through the yard and you'd have to dodge all the grasshoppers.
When's the last time...
I've seen a grasshopper.
Or your car was like, you had to clean bugs off your windshield or anything like that.
You pretty much have to do like a cross-country road trip and you'll pick up a few, maybe in like pockets.
Last time I hit a bug, it scared me. That's how rare it is now. And it was like one of those flying grasshoppers.
Even in the movie, Tommy Boy, when they're driving He's like, he even used the example. It's like when he's seen that ladybug hit the windshield. Remember? He's like, alive, 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 dead. That was the bug hitting the windshield.
That was the bug exploding.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
And so that's where they, you know, they coined the phrase, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield in life. And then, well, bam, the bug hits the windshield. Oh, gross. Oh, you're still muted. You're still muted, by the way. You double tapped it. There, you're back.
I need a tissue. Lisa, throw me a tissue.
Throw the whole box.
Yeah, throw
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, so bugs are dying. Bugs are going away.
So, yeah, we'll talk about several groups of insects.
Most people like, you know, dislike bugs, and they're like, oh, yeah. Some people, this might be good news. Like, oh, yeah, no more bugs. The ants that are terrorizing my house are going away. Yay, good. No, not good.
It's not.
Not good. Wake up.
It's not good. They build the building blocks for everything. We'll talk about China. We'll talk about butterflies and bees.
China.
So they've wiped out their bugs a lot faster than we have.
Man.
So right now, the Chinese apple orchards and stuff like that have to pay people to come pollinate their apples with feathers. They have no bugs left.
Like a maid with a feather duster out there?
Yeah, it's like individual feathers, because you have to go inside the flower, get pollen, and then go to a different plant, a different flower, and put the pollen in there.
Doing bees works.
Well, because you killed all the bees.
Yeah.
So which thing do you want to start with? You want to start with bumblebees? Not even honeybees? We'll start with bumblebees?
Bumblebee tuna.
No, bumblebees are actually extinct. I'm a firm believer bumblebees do not exist anymore.
I seen one the other day.
I doubt it.
It was.
I doubt it.
It wasn't a carpenter bee. It was a little bumblebee.
I don't think
he was in the car.
Yeah.
I had to shoo him out.
No, I think, every species of bumblebee in the U.S., and this happened a couple years ago, and it made like a couple newspapers one time, and then it like nothing, got declared endangered at the same time.
Oh. Okay.
It's not good. Like when you're just like a whole family group of animals.
That's like very important to our food cycle.
And people have like, I've been stung. Like people are like, I got stung or bitten by a bumblebee. I highly doubt it. You probably got stung or bitten by a carpenter bee, which are still really reluctant to sting. They'll bite you.
Yeah, they'll bite. They're biters more.
They have a really hard bite because they eat wood.
And then, or you're either getting stung by that or you're getting stung by a freaking hornet. Yellow jacket,
yeah.
Which those are not bees.
If you get stung by a bumblebee, you probably did something really bad to that bumblebee.
Hmm.
It takes a lot of work because we'd catch it with our hands and stuff that when we were kids.
Oh, yeah. They remember the little white flowers that are in your yard?
Like the clover.
Yeah, and those bees used to be all over them.
I did get stung one time by what I think was a bumblebee when I was a little kid. I was running barefoot through the clover, and I stepped on it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a little snake or something, so I was trying to find it in the grass, and then it finally stung me after I was holding my foot on it for a while.
Ah, gotcha.
And it may have bit me. I was really young.
Yeah, it's hard to remember.
But no, bumblebees kind of went extinct silently. Like, nobody cared. Like, it was really fast to where, like, oh, we're really seeing a decline in bumblebee populations, and then there's no bumblebees.
It's because big pharma and big, what's the word, big... What's the word?
It's not pharma. It's agriculture.
Yeah, but like Monsanto. Yeah, you're right. Monsanto, and then what would they be falling under? Big.
So it depends.
Pesticide company.
Yeah, pesticide, chemicals, agriculture. We'll talk about Roundup and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
not good.
Roundup's for weeds, but
Roundup's not good. It's glyphosate. It's carcinogen. It gives you cancer. Yeah, all of it does.
And it's nothing to do like Roundup Ready corn isn't bad to eat. It's the fact that they are spraying it with Roundup makes it bad. Like, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
If you just plant the corn that's genetically modified to just
resist Roundup,
it just doesn't pick up Roundup is what it does.
Right.
It has, and part of its cell structure, it knows the Roundup's bad.
Right.
So it stops. It doesn't pick it up through the soil.
Right.
So that's why it doesn't die.
But we're spraying the soil.
We're covering everything in Roundup.
Everything.
So Crickets of Corn did an episode on mass extinctions, and they covered that only one ever affected insects, and it wasn't even this bad.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that very clear. Insects have been around pretty much since day one. They rocked 5 mass extinctions, and the only one that really affected them was when the Earth was raining in on fire and plasma storms, and a volcano shot out a continent worth of lava.
Yeah.
And then they had a drop in numbers, and then they bounced right back.
So are they going to bounce back?
After we're all dead, yeah.
Just after we're dead? I think after people like, you know, Bill Gates are gone, Jeff Bezos,
after Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think after the species, human species has a dramatic population reduction.
Yeah.
Due to whether it's war with, you know, whatever, you know, whatever disease, food. I think food's going to be the big one.
In, injection or infection, whichever.
Because pollinating, like all modern, almost all modern day plants need some form of pollination now. There's just a small group of plants, especially agricultural products.
What are they going to do? Originally, are they going to build all these self-walking dogs with feathers attached to their back and start pollinating everything?
Like I told you, they're already using helicopters and stuff like that. They're like literally flying. There's people paying farmers are paying people to fly helicopters really low
over their fields
to blow it around and try to pollinate their crops.
Just spray and pray.
And then in China, I just was reading that there's 16,000 hives of bumblebees, or not bumblebees, honeybees. They take out two farms, they let them out for the day off of flatbed trucks to go pollinate, and they close them up and take them somewhere else.
Wow.
Because they've killed all their normal bees.
Yeah.
Hive collapse syndrome is a bad deal, too. But yeah, let's talk about monarch butterflies.
Oh, okay.
Monarch butterflies have a 4-year migration, which is literally, it takes 4 generations to get from the Canada back to Mexico and back.
And they just constantly doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
And it makes sense because they used to be an absolutely massive, I'm talking about millions, if not billions of butterflies.
Like blot out the sun?
They did. In some areas of the world, like the monarch butterflies in North and Central America would blot out the sun.
That's crazy. That's a lot of butterflies.
They're all dead.
What?
I'm not joking. So if you remember, some of our older listeners, which they'll remember in the 80s and 90s, there was all these like documentaries from Nat Geo and stuff like that.
Right.
Showing monarch butterflies, like the pine trees in Mexico is where they would end their 4-year migration.
That's where they were flooded to.
And that's where it was the most concentrated they'd be. And it literally blot out the sun as they came over the mountains. There would be so many butterflies, it would get dark like an eclipse.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool.
They would land on the pine trees to drink the sap, and literally there would be so many butterflies.
They'd weigh down the tree.
The trees would break.
Yeah.
And you'd see a tree like snap, and then you know all these butterflies take off.
That's crazy.
Now they have like 10 that show up.
Sad.
Like literally, it's nothing. Like, you know, it's not 10. That was an exaggeration.
Is it just monarch butterflies too?
No, but that's the easiest one to see.
Gotcha.
When they have such a mass migration together.
You know, and I haven't even... I guess in recent years, I remember being a kid, you'd always see like butterflies, like monarchs, especially the yellow and orange ones.
I haven't, no, so they're red and black.
Red and
the
black.
The yellow is tiger swallowtails, which are also going extinct.
What are the orange ones?
Viceroys.
Those are the big ones you see too?
Yeah, they're a monarch butterfly mimic.
Oh, okay.
So they, because monarch butterflies are toxic, so they want to kind of look like monarch butterflies, so birds leave them alone.
I played that game on like Magic School Bus video game where you got to eat all the butterflies, but you can't eat the toxic ones.
Yeah. So that's monarchs. Viceroys aren't toxic. Yet tigers, swallowtails are the yellow, big yellow guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty much going extinct. But monarchs is the easiest one to see because they have a colonial migration where they all get together.
Together, yeah.
You
can
see where, you know, literally in the 80s, 90s, in our lifetime,
yeah,
they were blotting out the sun, and now, like, it's pitiful. The people I was reading reports of say it's like a couple thousand butterflies come over the mountain range together and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Everybody online, I highly suggest you go look it up, like these pictures and videos of trees exploding from how many butterflies used to be on them.
Man, and now they're all gone.
Yeah.
Sad. Who's to blame?
Humans.
Well, I know, not you and me, like type of humans.
So here's the thing, and this is where me and you argue a lot as Daniel and Wilbur. The majority of the blame is on industry,
right?
But it's also on us as the everyday citizens, because here's the thing, and I talk about this a lot. Industry is not good or bad. It is a thing,
right?
It will get away with whatever you let it get away with as an everyday human,
right?
It will be as good or as evil as it is allowed to be.
Correct.
So the everyday citizen has the ability to restrain the beast of industry and force it. It does.
In
parts of the world, I'll give some examples of like Chicago where I worked, local citizen groups changed their rivers for the better.
Mm-hmm.
They changed humongous swaths of land. Ohio, for example, has had the biggest change in water quality in the world in the last about six decades. We went from being the worst water quality in most of the world to being the best.
That's quite a change.
And it's because of citizen groups.
So we need
forcing industries, wastewater treatment plants, farmers. And it's not, I'm not talking like the everyday farmer is not, you know, we're talking about farm as a corporation,
right, industry.
So those citizen groups forced this change, and it got better. The Mississippi got better. The Ohio River got better. So until you recognize these problems, that's why I really wanted to do this episode, until you recognize that bugs, the silent extinction,
there's going
to
be no change.
There's going to be no change. Bald eagles is a good one with Monsanto in the, what was it, DT-40 or something like that?
That chemical. Yeah,
causing their eggs to collapse and stuff.
Yep.
It just made their eggshells weak, and they're too big of birds to sit on the egg, and, you know. And it wasn't just bald eagles. It was a lot of the other raptors and even trumpeter swans and stuff like that was affecting them. Big birds.
All big birds, yeah.
You know, when they sit on their eggs needed to support the weight to be incubated.
Right.
The mom and dad couldn't not touch the egg. You know, it's...
They needed to, like, make little bird hemorrhoid pillows to sit around them so they could sit on them without sitting on them.
Yes.
So maybe we can...
But bald eagles have bounced back. They've done amazingly since citizens made these corporations stop using those chemicals.
So
bald eagles have bounced back. Trumpeter swans have bounced back. Yeah. Bald eagles have bounced back.
Is that your call to arms for people to, you know, stand up, rise for... This is a country for the people, by the people, and we need to start being by the people more.
We'll have two things for the end of this episode that people should and can do. One of them, I'm building in my front yard.
Not even should. You do. Do or do not. There is no try.
I'm not the boss of anybody. Well,
I'm just saying, there's no
such... I guess besides the people I created.
There's no such... That's true. There's no such thing as should in life. You either do
or do,
or
not.
Do not.
Master Yoda.
Yes.
Which I didn't trust.
You don't trust Yoda?
No, he did some shady stuff.
Like what?
In his younger days, he was maybe a little bit more like Anakin.
We're all in our younger days. This is why he
killed a bunch of kids.
He didn't do that. Yoda didn't. No, come
read the comics.
Don't recreate Yoda lore. We can't do that here.
He's 908, I think. In the
and people change with wiser with time, over 900 years of time, and I think that was an older Yoda quote. It was the do or do not. So you know, it's trustworthy Yoda.
Yes,
it's important. Timelines are important.
Timelines are important. So let's talk about bees. Like I said, already with honeybees. Honeybees have, or not honeybees, I'm sorry, bumblebees, have a much more looser hive structure than like, let's say, a honeybee or, you know, a much more complicated bee.
Bees.
Yeah, very different. But bumblebees were our first sign of severe problems because they went extinct right as hive collapsal syndrome really became a thing.
Was that always been a thing, or is that something new too?
In my opinion, it has not been a thing. It is.
Yeah, it's new.
We'll talk about that. But when bumblebees went extinct, by the time biologists started realizing it, so in California, for example, bumblebees are fish, just so you know.
Okay.
It's just a weird law because I think we talked about it before.
Because a bumblebee tuna?
Bumblebee, so they have no protections for insects.
Okay.
So when they were trying to protect bumblebees, they had no legal protections.
So
they had endangered fish and aquatic invertebrates. So they had invertebrates in there. They changed the wording a little bit to fit bumblebees. So bumblebees are fish in California.
Nice.
Just this weird little hiccup I seen in research.
That just goes to prove any law or any sort of thing can just be changed by a little bit of wordplay. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all fake.
So bumblebees went extinct. And when I say that, I mean functionally extinct.
Right.
A very different definition. Like
if you listen to
Wilbur saying that he's seen a bumblebee, he may have.
Yeah.
You know, seen it. But functionally they are extinct, as in their numbers now are so low because there's 44 species in the US.
Wow.
So you got to remember the very few we're still seeing is spread across 44 species.
Right.
What functionally extinct means is their numbers are so low, it is very improbable, even if we did something, that they would bounce back.
And that's just, I mean, anyone that has any room in their backyard, go buy a beehive.
Well, that doesn't help bumblebees.
Get one started. Start locally. It's all you can do.
But we'll talk about what you can do to help bumblebees.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that at the end.
What, plant flowers?
That too, but don't mow your leaves in your yard. Pile them up in a box that's open, and let them sit there until the spring. That's what they need for hibernation.
And then you can use those things in the summer.
Then throw them in your yard, mow them.
Compost, yeah, I compost them and
let them get, let them sleep.
Do all sorts of things with those dirty leaves.
So bumblebees, yeah. So now we started seeing honeybees and other species of bees, not just honeybees. Honeybees are kind of a, it's kind of a weird term we have now, because there's domestic honeybees, and that's, domestic is a very loose term.
Yeah.
They are fine, to, like, if they get out of their hive boxes, they're just going to be bees.
Okay.
But there are ones that we've kind of started to selectively breed.
To make honey.
Yeah, and there's hybrids like the, what is it, the African killer honeybees.
Yeah,
and,
aren't they supposed to be super aggressive?
They are, and that they were invading the U.S., but it, here's the only invasive species I ever knew about that was really exploding, and then they tanked it.
I was just going to say
because,
that. Yeah.
All bees started tanking it.
Yeah, so even they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, no.
I remember that as a kid growing up, though. It's like,
I seen them.
Watch out for these African. They're
Africanized.
They're called Africanized. Yeah. They're super highly aggressive.
It's because they were a breed brought in from Africa, and mm-hmm. they were crossbreeding with our native species. Mm-hmm. And they started doing it because they would defend their hives a little better.
Right.
They produced more honey. Ooh. So it made sense for, you know, agriculture. And bees, honeybees are not very aggressive as far as the ant-like insects. Will you know, like wasp and bees yeah. and ants yeah. are all in the same family. Mm. When you really look at them up close, you know, bees are fuzzy.
Yeah.
But once you take that fuzz off, you really do see that they are incredibly similar animals.
Just like a fly or an ant, flying ant.
Yeah, well, there's flying ants.
Well, there's
ants
those have wings. I don't like flying ants. So
well, just it's just the normally just the females.
Yeah,
that are trying to.
They're big and they're weird looking. They fly. They probably bite you.
Well, yeah,
not a fan.
So hive collapsal syndrome. I just was watching some videos on it. It is a very unique thing that has evolved very rapidly in the last, I'm going to say, decade and a half. I haven't done tons of research into it. It may be a little older than that, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe last two decades.
It's a new phenomenon.
Yes. Some people have compared it, some biologists have compared it back to some fungal collapse syndrome.
Okay.
So you can say that it may be older than that. It is not that, in my opinion. So new data just came out in the last couple months of a team really studying hival collapse syndrome.
Okay.
Right. The reason this new data has come out is because it's easier to study it because more hives are collapsing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because pretty much you had to watch out. You had to
more
watch a hive
collapse.
You had to find one, set up stuff to observe it, and then try to catch the collapse.
Yeah.
So now it's happening more frequently.
It's easier to catch.
So now it's easier to catch. In farms and stuff, it's even happening inside of honeybee farms, which is new.
Yeah, it's not good.
So what happens is when a female bee starts, a queen starts a new hive. She takes care, she builds a little couple combs, she lays eggs, and she takes care of these. And depending on which type of nectar, which type of honey they feed the babies, it determines what they'll become. Like royal jelly will make queens and stuff like that, and
gotcha.
So on and so forth. So this first batch she makes are nurse drones.
Right.
So they are, their job is now is to take care of the next batch of eggs the queen lays. So the queen can start, you know, focusing on just turning into a reproductive organ.
Right. Just pumping out the eggs.
Yes. So they do this. So they're very important to the hive. As the hive grows, you know, they keep diversifying, you know, get workers, they get defenders, they get, you know, all kinds of stuff.
The bee class system.
What we're seeing with hive collapsal syndrome seems to be that an emergency signal is triggered inside the beehive. And the nurse bees leave with all the other bees, like, so basically the signal gets tripped saying we're starving to death.
We
have no food.
We need more pollen and, or not pollen, nectar.
Nectar.
Yeah.
We have no food. Even though the hive is full of honey, there is food. There's plenty of food.
Mm.
So, but this trigger gets set off that tells them that they're all starving to death. So they all leave and then they all die. This has been witnessed as fast as 12 hours.
Dang.
Until the entire hive is dead. They pretty much get so into a panic, they work themselves to death. There's nobody to take care of the larva.
Right.
So they all die very quickly.
No future generations.
So it ends.
Yeah.
Like I said, the study found it's mostly 24 to 48 hours. Their fastest one they found was 12 hours.
Dang.
And the bees start overheating. They start doing all kinds of, they're like little robots, right? Bees,
yeah.
Bees operate insects, like the colonial insects, like ants, bees.
Like hive mind.
Yeah. They operate like robots,
yeah.
You know, very simple. But they collectively do amazing things.
Right.
So
teamwork makes the dream work.
We don't know. I believe the scientist that was looking into this the first time this was kind of becoming a thing, long time ago, like 08, 09, something like that. He said it was caused because of cell phones.
Okay.
Then I believe he died.
You know, he might be right, though.
Well, that's why he died.
Yeah.
Because I think he was asked not to talk about it anymore. Mm. And then he took a long walk off a short pier.
So you think the cell towers that are going up, you know, you got your first you had 3G, now 4G, now 5G, all this stuff. You think they can just flip to a certain frequency that will basically cause these guys to bug out? Slid that right in there. It's a pretty good joke.
No, I don't think anybody's doing it on purpose. Like, I don't think there's a certain frequency that does this. I think it's the amount of signals we're putting out there. Why it's becoming more and more, because they're putting more and more and more stuff.
Right, right. I think George Carlin said it. Like, if you go back, I don't know. Well, I forget when radio signals started being sent out, but at the start of that, was that in the 1900s or was it 18? I don't remember when radio
18. So the very end of the 1800s.
Okay. Well, even let's just go back like 200, 300 years. As far as signals being sent through the air in the atmosphere, the earth in general, there was nothing. It's just silence. And then now, like modern day to now, you can't get away from anywhere without being signals being beamed or, you know, pushed around everywhere around the country or around the world even. It's everywhere. It's flooded. So, yeah, I can see just any overload of signals, stimuli, that throw the bug population into, I don't know.
So we're saying bugs, but we mean invertebrates. Because spiders are also struggling deeply. You know the last time I seen a corn spider in Ohio?
Corn spider.
They were the big orb weavers, the big yellow, black, and white ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't exist anymore. I think they're
very, very few and far between.
I looked a lot last year.
Yeah.
Could not find them.
I remember as a kid.
We used to catch them all the time. I never got bit by one. They're huge. They're like the size of your hand.
Big, fat, like, yeah. Butts.
They look scary. They're harmless. They're just harmless? Yeah. I mean, they could bite and it sucked. They bit you, but it's not like the venom's going to do anything to you.
Oh, I know someone's been bit by them.
They're great. I mean, we used to pick them up all the time with our hands. I never got bit. I mean, they were pretty docile. So they're gone. So we'll talk about soil insects and stuff like that going extinct too. Here's a number. So the animal biomass on the planet. That's all animals weight put together. From insects to fish
to
whales to us.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot,
Does
right?
That include house cats?
Yes.
Okay.
Has dropped by around 35 to 40%.
Dang.
And it's almost exclusively insects and arachnids.
That are gone.
Yeah.
That's the major percentage of that percentage.
Quadrillions of pounds. I don't know. I made that number up, but literally, there's 8 billion people on the planet that weigh, let's say, weigh 150 pounds each.
Oh,
so 8 billion times 150 on average.
It's a lot, yeah. It's a lot of biomass.
And that's just people, not, you know, our agricultural animals. You know, cows outweigh us, you know, probably 4 to 1, and chickens outweigh us probably 10 to 1 on the planet.
Us?
As humans.
Chickens? Oh,
because we're farming chickens.
Yes, yes. The total amount. Yes.
Yeah. No, biomass weight.
Right, yeah.
There's probably 100 chickens for every person on the planet or something
Easily. Probably more.
Yeah. So there's probably 10 cows and pigs, you know.
Yeah.
So 40% of the Earth's biomass of animals has disappeared in the last 5 decades.
Dang. That's not a good number.
No, if insects are checking out, that's a...
Are they the salamanders of
That's the problem.
Oh.
They're the last things.
Ew.
Insects are the last thing to punch their cards. Like, if you listen to that Critics of Corn mass extinction episode.
Yeah.
Insects normally do not care.
Too bad all the bad bugs are sticking around.
Like, that's the annoying problem, ones. Is all the things that eat them are dead.
Yeah.
Like, what, mosquitoes and flies?
And cockroaches and...
Cockroaches are not bad. We have a couple species that make the family group. Like, the Russian, German cockroaches or red cockroaches, red runners?
I don't know. I just know if, like... You got a gross restaurant, they show up.
Yeah, it's German cockroaches.
See, bad.
But the other, as a family group,
they're
incredibly impressive and good for the environment. Woodland roaches and stuff like that.
I guess.
I told the story before about the cockroach I heard when I worked at the McDonald's somewhere.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you said on here, but...
I don't know. I heard one walking.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I thought it was a rat, and I ran in the corner, it's a roach. I thought, and I even walked towards it because I thought it was somebody's like pet hissing roach.
Yeah.
I used to have pet hissing roaches, and they're incredibly, so pet hissing roaches and stuff like that are incredibly clean. They are constantly cleaning themselves. And you know, so the roach family is incredibly diverse, and they're even going extinct. There are several species of roach that are big, you know, they're only found in captivity now.
Right, yeah.
That's roaches. The thing we talked about could survive like anything. Nukes and mass extinctions that have been around since the Jurassic. They watch the dinosaurs go away. And
what's going to outlive us? Is just the tortoises?
Something at the bottom of the ocean in the trench. Okay. Ironclad snails.
Bloops.
Bloops and ironclad snails, which may be the same thing, just a big ironclad snail. I think we talked to Alex and she confirmed that it is a starfish.
No, a sand dollar.
Sand dollar.
Yeah, sand dollar. Giant one, which I like that idea.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Now, so caterpillars. Yeah. So I'm trying to get to this.
Caterpillars. They're next.
I mean, they've been going extinct.
That's the same thing as butterfly, right?
Yeah. But I mean, butterflies as a whole, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can trace that thread.
In England, depending on which part, there are specifically, and I think it was one of the Top Gear guys, Jeremy, brought this up. He's a very controversial figure in TV.
Okay.
Because he says whatever he wants. And I don't agree with everything he says, obviously.
Right.
I do like him because you don't have to guess what he's thinking. And that's the reason the show got canceled the one time or several times is because he and the producer would fight about stuff and he would be like, whatever. And then they, because they, you know, they were a package deal. He brought this up about England. He's like, we're not hitting bugs in cars anymore. He's a professional car driver. He drives on the England countryside all the time. He's like, I used to have to get out, you know, after every drive and clean the car, clean the radio. You know, he's driving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a car.
Right, and you got bugs all stuck in the grill.
He's like, and he's driving down the road. He's like, this used to be the word I would not go on because of bugs. We're not, look, I haven't hit one. We go, they drove in the camera. He's like, yeah. So England's lost 92% of their biomass of insects.
That's craziness.
92% of the biggest part of the animal kingdom.
Is this just an, you think this is an oversight by these corporations that are causing this, or do you think,
I think it started when we start. Yes, partially, because they wanted to control pest.
Yeah.
And pest species. The problem is pesticides do not pick.
No, they kill everything.
So there's bugs like potato beetles that destroy our potato fields so fast.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had my potatoes in my garden, and I had like three or four of them, and they killed every potato in a day.
Yeah.
You know? So and if you're farming, you know, 1,000 acres of potatoes,
right?
You know, you need something to keep those insects off. But the insecticide you're using does not pick.
Right.
It kills every bug.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's like things like white triggers and stuff like that, which are tiny little, barely visible insects that live in the soil.
Okay.
They help nutrify the soil. They keep the soil turning. They help break down these finite things.
Yeah.
You're killing every one of those too.
So you're
plus the microbes.
Basically having a barren wasteland slowly
forming. We have killed our soil.
Mm-hmm.
We've killed, so another one is Ted Nugent is another controversial figure.
Yeah.
And he talks about veganism a lot. You know, he's known as the man eater, the meat
the
eater.
The meat eater,
yeah. Yeah, he's the meat eater guy.
Well, just go on, because I know what you're about to say.
So he talks about veganism is the best way to kill the most animals possible.
Yeah.
Because to grow your tofu, to grow your soy from beans and stuff like that, you have to kill everything that lived on that ground, every vole, every snake, every bug. You have to plant it, spray it with pesticides, bleach the soil, add nitrates that kill more things because we've ruined the nitrate cycle.
Right.
And then you bounce back. Like, so you're still... I guess that's my I go in those rants about veganism, and I don't care if you want to be vegan. If you think it's if the modern day farming system is that bad that you feel that's fine, but don't say it's because you don't want animals to die.
Right. Yeah.
Because a part of our existence is other beings' death.
Right. Yeah.
And plants and fungus are sentient.
Mm. Well, there you go. Yeah. What's so, the point? What are you? You're not gaining any ground.
Yeah. In my opinion. But
you want to save...
My aunt's been a vegetarian since as long as I can remember. She ate fish one time because I caught it, and I cleaned it and stuff like that, and she did enjoy it. But yeah, she does it for a lot of ethical reasons as far as industrial farming and stuff like that, which is fine.
Which, yeah, I get that because it's probably not, at the end of the day, good for you anyways, that industrial farming, like food sources.
Yeah. So
shop local. Shop local.
And eat bugs.
Don't eat bugs. They're dying.
Aquatic insects are into their next one. So these make up the base of most food chains on the planet.
I was maybe this is the whole thing behind them. Maybe they're trying to kill the bugs. So the only bugs that are left are ones that they can sell you and force feed you to eat.
I don't think so.
I won't put past Mr. Schwab.
See, well, we talked about that. I don't think they're ever going to force feed crickets.
Oh, they are. They're going to. They're going to strap you to a chair, put VR goggles on your face, and force feed you crickets.
Do you remember what I said the last time we talked about this?
No, literally.
Because you block me out, and you just get on these rants, and you don't listen.
Well, it's the truth comes to me, and I have to spout it out.
You
have to
say it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's like a prophecy. Your hands start shaking. I see your eyes glowing.
Yeah, it just has to be said.
It's like talking to a living tiki head. No, it's the. I think the whole cricket thing, the bug thing that they're pushing, and like the all over, is to make the lab meat and the 3D meat more acceptable.
Right, yeah.
Because they're going to be like, well, we also have this as another alternative. Right. So people are going to be like, that looks like a steak.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah, so that's why the whole thing with bugs. I'm fine with eating bugs. Not being forced to eat bugs is a big difference.
Right, yeah. I don't want like antennas sticking out of my teeth.
The cookies, you don't have any bug parts. It's good protein. And then other thing is for other livestock like chickens and stuff like that need a little bit more protein. It's good for their feeds. Yeah, and they eat bugs naturally, you know.
Right.
Most of the cultures on the planet, besides ours, eat bugs in some way, shape, or form. And technically, it depends on your definition of bug.
Right.
Your definition of bug. We eat bugs. You eat shrimp.
Water bugs are different.
They're not.
Silverfish.
They're not in the water, and they're not bugs.
They're not bugs?
They're not insects.
What are they?
Crustaceans.
Silverfish? Mm-hmm. Crustaceans on?
I think so. I don't remember now. It's been months.
I don't know either. Silverfish. Look them up. Google it. You check out this other show that...
called Freaky...
Fauna Friday, I think.
There you go.
Those guys are pretty cool. They teach you about animals and bugs and things like that.
So yeah, aquatic insect collapse. And especially in freshwater environments, it's the building blocks. Of all these environments, the base fish eat insects. Even some of our larger fish in these environments eat insects.
Well, everything does, except us, me. I take there's one way I will eat bugs, only one. And that's if you sprinkle a little bit of Flavors of the Forest on it. You can find Flavors of the Forest, garlic breath, or garlic dust, Bigfoot breath, at flavorsforest.com/corn. Put it on your bugs.
Put it on your bugs.
Yeah. It should have a shirt that says, put it on your bugs. Makes bugs, even bugs taste good. There you go. Yeah, that's right.
Even bugs. So, yeah. What do you think about all that?
I think it's not good.
That's a rough thing.
I think it's not good. Not good thing that's going forward. I think it's probably by design. It's probably... it was probably an accident on first, but then they seen like, oh yeah, it's actually killing all the bugs. Perfect. We can, this is me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've got bugs on my farm. I'm a farmer now.
This is Bill Gates talking.
Directly related to bird populations and stuff like that, too, for example.
Birds eat bugs.
Since the bug population's fallen in the UK, the UK since 1970 has 44 million fewer birds.
Dang, is Ralph out there, like, surveying them all?
Just, there's no birds left.
Oh, okay.
There's no birds.
He's running out of birds to count.
And even we have, you know, we're not seeing nearly as many birds and the diversity in flocks here in the U.S.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it's purposeful or not. Here's why, in my opinion, you could tell this is real. Is because
nobody's talking about this.
The Guardian had the one article that I was using parts of, which is, I don't know, it's okay.
They sneak it out, the article out there. They don't push it. They don't talk about it.
This is not the big Guardian. This is another one called the Guardian, but it's a smaller one.
Oh, okay. Either way, like small little local news outlets, I'll put it out there, but then no one big will pick it up. If they do, they'll pick it up for like 5 minutes at, 11:59 p.m. on a Friday night. And then, oh, it's out there. We talked about it, guys. We totally talked about it.
Biologist Dave Glossum is who I used. That is his research directly I was quoting.
Okay.
He's a conservation biologist specializing in insects in North America and Europe.
A good old-fashioned entomologist.
Yeah, conservation biologist.
Oh. Well, I thought you said he's a bug guy.
He's a conservation biologist.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you study bugs, you're an entomologist, right? Yeah.
All it's right. like other people have talked about, you know, they're just words.
Words are just words, and they can be manipulated to mean anything.
But yeah, I think it's just you're an entomologist if you specifically only study insects.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he studies vertebrates, just invertebrates in general.
In general.
You know, okay. Conservation with them. But no, I really think it's going to start hardcore affecting the food system.
Probably already has. I mean, our food system in general.
Oh, I did leave one out. Sorry, go ahead.
What? I was just going to say our food system in general is already, I don't want to say compromised, but you know, it kind of is. We're not taught at any form of public school or education how to properly eat or, you know, what foods we should be eating that's actually good for you. Shoot, when we grew up, the whole food pyramids even changed from when we grew up. And looking back at that old one, it's kind of messed up now that we have a little more
ideas
or just education about nutrition that gets out. But when you're a third grader, you know, in public school, you don't know no better. Like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm taught it in school. That means it's true. All this stuff. But none of it is. I don't think any of it is. And they want to force feed you to, you know, eating your cereals and your grains, your bread.
Yeah, I like cereals.
I mean, I do too.
I like bread.
Me too.
Why do you hate?
I'm just saying. Like
cereal grains.
It's sugar. You need more sugar.
Ancient grains.
Pour white sugar in everything. It'll make you better at everything you do.
Do you like brown sugar better than white sugar?
Well, I just mean processed white sugar. Well, brown sugar is the same. It's sugar with molasses in it, ain't it? Isn't that the difference?
I don't know.
I think that's all it is. So same thing. You just put sugar on everything.
Is it just sugar with molasses
I think it? So, yeah. I think that's all the difference it is.
Are you sure?
What else would it be?
I thought it was a different, like cane sugar is different than white sugar. It's different than... You know, I thought it was a different, or it came from a different source.
Just molasses.
Now I gotta look that up.
That's why it's thicker. That's why it's all sticky. That's why you have your dark browns and your light browns and your. It's all the molasses. It's all the. You gotta savor the flavor. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but what's it say?
We can tell. I'm pulling it up. So.
Oh, okay. I thought I bought some time for you.
Oh, you were ranting for me. What is brown sugar? Highlights brown sugar contains the same amount, the number of calories per teaspoon as white table sugar. The main difference between table sugar and brown sugar is the presence of molasses, which gives it its brown sugar, its distinct color, flavor, and moisture. The molasses used for brown sugar comes from sugar cane, not sugar beets.
Okay.
Although there is a trace amounts of various nutrients in brown sugar comes from molasses, brown sugar is not considered healthier than any other sugar types.
Right.
I was just curious. I didn't know what the difference was.
Yep.
You were right. But I didn't know molasses comes from sugar. Specifically, the molasses used in brown sugar comes from sugar cane.
Cane sugar, yeah. Straight up. The au naturel. You ever bitten on a piece of sugar cane?
Here in the U.S., no, I haven't.
That's delicious.
Here in the U.S.,
chewed on one.
You cannot be considered brown sugar if it is used sugar beets for its molasses.
Wow.
There you go.
Didn't know that. Sugar beets.
Michigan, North Dakota. Idaho and Minnesota are our top sugar beet producing states.
Makes sense.
And then Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas produce sugar cane in Florida. Sorry, Florida too.
You like beets?
Depends.
I don't care for them.
I told you about the sugar beet chips I was eating the one time and then we all called off work.
Because you thought you were dying?
Because, you look like you poop blood.
Yeah. Sugar beet chips.
Everybody called. I was like the 18th person to call off work because you're not supposed to eat on the line.
Well, when I... Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't like beets unless... But I do like them juiced. If you juice them, mix them with...
Beets are one of those weird things. It's what they're in, right?
100%. If it's borscht, I don't want it.
What's borscht?
It's a beet soup.
Like, you just don't pick up a beet and eat it. I guess you can, but...
You can. Now, the beets I do like are from Doug. The band, the Beats, you know, you don't know the Beats, banging on a trash can.
You didn't know their movie, so
strumming on a streetlight.
You didn't wait. You didn't know the Doug movie.
I don't know.
Doug, I'm just saying.
The Doug movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Beats are in it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? You don't even know who the Beats are.
I don't know. No. So, yeah, I don't know if it's just.
Yeah, think big.
I don't know if it was on purpose or if it's just a part of our existence is so, like. We've gotten away so far from nature, cutting down every tree,
for sure.
Destroying every leaf. Like, you have to have grass in our yard that's not native and stuff like that.
Well, maybe this will be a catalyst, you know, for us as a human beings in the future. I think it's slowly starting, you know, just the people coming to the realization that it's better to go back to your roots. It's things are better, you know, going back to the simpler things in life. I think this is the very start, beginning of moving away from the technological autocracy that we're all enslaved by these devices in our hands and by our government that they use to control us.
Let's talk about what you can do to help save insects.
Yes.
So one of the first things, and this is one that I'll be building in my yard, but I highly suggest, is basically it's not a compost pile specifically, and you shouldn't, like, this isn't what this is for, but you build a bin, like a little storage, like a box with no bottom, and maybe even like one side, so like a three-walled little thing. Try to pile all your leaves from your yard into that for the fall, the winter, and a good chunk of the spring. After the spring, you know, you start digging them out. So, like, for example, bumblebees, a lot of singular honeybees, wasps, a lot of insects that pollinate and stuff like that need those piles of leaves to hibernate in for the winter.
Right.
Even stuff like gardener snakes and stuff like that will use those to hibernate, box turtles and such.
So make piles.
You just make a pile somewhere, and you make this little square box or whatever, so you can put it out of your yard, so it's still not, it's not cluttering your yard, you know, and stuff like that, but it's still there available for these animals to use.
Right.
Then in the spring, you know, what I would do, or I suggest you do, is you just, you know, spread it back out of your yard and mow it up. Because that's another big problem with sending your leaves away and getting them sweet, street sweeped. Because what a leaf is nutrients picked up from the trees, turn into leaves, and then drops its leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nutrients from the soil you're stealing from the soil if you just send it away somewhere else.
Right, yep.
So you grind them back up, they'll decompose and go back into the soil.
We're getting away from our natural way of, you know, the natural order of how nature wants to act, you know, how nature exists. You know, we're just removing everything. You all move into a town or a city that has no trees, no leaves, and any of them that do and they fall on the ground, you just ship them away? Come on.
Another thing you can do is try to look up for your area native flowers to plant.
There you go.
Pollinating flowers. Milkweed's always a go-to in most of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
For example, monarch butterflies only reproduce on the milkweed plants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they're directly keystone species for the monarch butterfly.
Uh-huh.
Because the monarch butterfly larvae eat the milkweed, which is toxic. And that's where they get their toxins from.
Wow.
So they only lay their eggs on milkweed.
So study up on your local flora.
And if you can find local plants at like your gardening centers and stuff like that. You just got to know which. Just bring a little list. Write down a little list, and be like, "This is what I'm looking for."
A local researcher. You know, you can make the biggest changes you make in the world are done in your own backyard.
There you go. Yeah, where are you looking?
I don't know. I just
you can make like Wilbur suggested. You can actually have a full blown bee box. You do not need to be that complicated for the bees, though. A lot of times what people will do is, have you ever seen those little pieces of, like, they almost look like a little house full of bamboo?
No.
So it's like a whole bunch of bamboo stacked into it.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah,
so I got it. The bees will actually use those little bamboo shoots to live in.
That's okay. I can see that.
Another thing people do is take an old stump or a log and drill a whole bunch of about half-inch holes
into it. Little holes into it, yeah.
And they'll use that, too.
Cool. Okay.
And I know if you're allergic to bees, it's obviously something you probably shouldn't do. You know, directly by your front door or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But bees, you know, beehives, unless you're really messing with them, are generally decently safe to be around.
Right, yeah.
Hornets and wasps tend to be a little bit more aggressive.
A little bit? No.
But they are also still very important. They're carnivores, partially. So your mosquitoes and stuff like that?
I guess.
They're the guys eating them. We didn't even talk about dragonflies, which are fallen aquatic insects. They're having their own massive extinction event. More and more dragonflies get added to the endangered species list every year.
That's sad. They're the most efficient hunters in the world.
Not helping them.
No, it's not helping them.
But
we can't lose that, people.
99% accuracy with hunts.
It's like
seahorses are next.
Seahorses are next? Okay.
98.7 or something like that.
It seems like a Kobe hitting a mid-range, shooting a mid-range jumper. 99% accurate.
I don't know what that. Okay.
It's like George Mirason getting the ball in the paint.
Ah.
He's like a dragonfly. He doesn't miss. About one person might get that reference.
Oh, good. Good.
Might.
Good.
Yeah, pretty deep cut.
But yeah, I don't know if this was done on purpose, like the insect apocalypse.
It's hard saying. It's probably just a byproduct from greed. It's a byproduct of greed. That's all it is. And, you know, when's it going to take, you know, us citizens to fight back? Let's get our bees back. Let's get our bees back. Let's get our, you know, our freedom back. You know, like I said earlier, start in your own backyard. Get ideas together with your neighbors and get bee boxes put together. Get your own honey. Start growing your own flowers. You know, help the bees. Help your local bees. Help your neighbors.